So just for some of you, if you don't know what profound means, because I kind of knew, but I looked that up, and here's what profound means. Profound means being or going far beneath what is superficial, external, or obvious, originating in or penetrating to the depths of one's being. So affection, by definition of the dictionary, means that I have to have a dedication to someone that goes beneath what is superficial. Affection, to really be affectionate towards somebody, means that my dedication's got to go deeper than just scratching the surface, right? I've got to be dedicated to someone to the point where it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's going to cause me to be inconvenienced at times, right? I said last Sunday, I think, like, look, I'm not as aware of my need for relationships with people when things are going good. Come on, church, right? When you're doing good, you're like, it's all good. Right? If folks don't call you, it don't matter. You're fine. It's when stuff is not going well, when you're having a tough season of life, right? When you got something's going on, whether it's emotional, spiritual, you need some help at your house, whatever's going on, right? It could be something simple as moving some furniture around and you just can't do it, right? That's when you're like, man, where are people that say they've got relationship with me, right? So this is what we're talking about, very practical stuff, but we're going to throw some spiritual stuff in it this morning. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, turn in your Bibles there. Sermon this morning is called, If Any Affection. If Any Affection. Chapter 2 of Philippians, say amen when you're there. Got one person. Two. Y'all there? Philippians 2? Go eat popcorn. It's like the third book after Corinthians. Hit Corinthians and go write a couple books. There you go. You guys ready? Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. Who's talking here? Paul, right? Paul. Make my joy complete, Paul said, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing, everybody say nothing. We're going to say that a few times this morning. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Okay, so question before I get really preaching at you guys this morning. How many people want to be more like Jesus? Hopefully, is there no hands up? Because you're really in trouble. You're in the wrong place if there's no hands up going up. Amen. All right. So hopefully we're all on board with that one. Amen. So if we want to be like Jesus, my Bible, church, is subtitled in chapter 2, Living Like Christ, or Be Like Christ is my translation. So Paul in chapter 2 of Philippians here, chapter 2 is direct teaching from Paul on how to grow in our Christ-likeness. Amen? So we're going to tear this apart a little bit. We're going to back up into chapter 1 in a few moments, a little bit just for some context. So Paul is talking to this local assembly to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Back up into chapter 1, verse 27. We'll go there and look at this. You guys all there? You should be right there. Just back up four verses. Verse 27 says this, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whoa. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents. Isn't that good, church? I love, what our sister was kind of hinting at, some of our cultural things going on right now. I want to put a little plug in here while I'm up here. One of my pastors, he's pretty passionate about what's going on in the political realm right now. And this is what he says. He says, you know what? He says, I think that the church's love affair with the Republican Party has done a lot of damage in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you guys something in case you didn't know, that there's Christians that are actually Democrats. and they're still saved. Come on, church. That was a joke, okay? Everybody laugh. Let's lighten up a little bit. Come on, man. Look, okay? We've got to understand something. Look at the government. I don't care what country we live in, church. The government is not the answer. Say it together. The government is not the answer. All right? The government's corrupt. I don't care what government it is. It's corrupt. Okay? There's some good folks in there. There's some Christians in there, and they're working hard. Can I get amen on that? All right, what I'm telling you, church, is we've got to, I'm grateful we live in a country. Look, there's a couple years I did vote, okay, but I was this close to not voting because I'm like, this is all we got? Are you kidding me? Come on. The last election was one of them. Like, for real, 350 million people, this is what we got. Come on. What? Right, so anyway, here's my point, church, my little political plug for the moment. I'm grateful we live in a country where we have input, right? We could live in a country where we don't got no vote. We don't have a voice. Can I get amen? So please vote. Please vote according to biblical principles. I don't care what the party is. I don't care who the candidate is. That don't matter, okay? I don't care if Mickey Mouse runs, for crying out loud. If he's saying stuff that makes sense biblically, then as Christians, that's what we're obligated to vote for. That make sense, y'all? Yeah? Thank you. Regardless of party. Party don't matter. That's divisive. Let's get back in the Bible so I don't get in trouble. Any more trouble than I'm already in. In no way alarmed by your opponent. That's how I got there. Look, let me make one more. This is not political, okay? Look, I've learned, church, I'm learning. If I watch something, if I watch the news, I don't watch the news very much because you know what? You watch the news, do you feel good when you turn it off? Probably not. Right, you probably need some Prozac or something, I don't know, right? I mean, come on, it's never good stuff. It's always this person's doing this and this person's doing that and that so-and-so killed so-and-so and this house burned down. And you know, I'm gonna start a news network that's just good news, man, like Caleb, but on TV. Anybody got any money? Let's take up an offering. Come on. Because, you know, there is good news around, church. Can I get amen on that? What I'm saying, look, the Bible says here that as we grow in Christ, as we grow together in Christ, that there's something should rise up in us where we're in no way alarmed by our opponent. That means the devil and all the stupid junk he's doing. I should be aware of it. I should know what's going on. I should stand against it. But as soon as fear starts rising up, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. As soon as I start feeling like Chicken Little, I'm too deep in that stuff. Amen. We got to be bold, man. Is that good? Look at what it says. In no way learned by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Look, church, when we can stop getting rattled by what's going on around us, it's a sign that something's really going on inside of us. Yeah? For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So look at this, guys. Paul is instructing the church here, this local assembly, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And then he tells us exactly what that looks like. I mean, we can talk for days and end about what that looked like, but he gives a list, a short one. Right? Here's what he says. Here's according to this particular teaching from Paul. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then he says two things. Standing firm in one spirit. Everybody say one. One spirit. Striving together with one mind. Everybody say one. One mind for the faith of the gospel. Okay, I'll give you one word to describe what Paul just said right there. Two different ways. The word is unity. Right? And every time I teach unity, I say, look, it's not uniformity. That's a cult. Unity means that there's a variety of varying parts that all work together to make something go. Okay? Open up the hood of your car. There's not 35 of the same parts in there. There's all kinds of different parts under the hood. They all work together, hopefully. And so when you turn the key on, it starts up and you go. right? Look at your body, man. Open your body up. There's not a whole bunch of all the same thing inside your chest. You've got muscle tissue and bones and ligaments, and you got heart in there and lungs and down lower your kidneys and stomach and intestines and all kinds of stuff, right? All these things work in harmony. They're in unity, right, church? They're in unity to make my body function, right? I'm going to throw a little, I'm just hang on. So let me just throw something else out here while we're on the topic of unity and body and everything else. Please be careful. There's some teaching out today, church, that I understand where they're trying to go with it, but I'm concerned about how they're doing it. All right, there's some teaching out there, and there's this real push for individuality in the church. And it's all about, man, you've got to call it God in your life, and you've got all this individual. You've got to call. And that's cool, okay? That's fine. I believe that. Please listen to me. I believe that all the way, man, okay? But what I heard this guy years back at a conference, and this is what this guy said. He says, you know what? I think we've made a mistake in how we witness to people. Brother, God's got a call for you. Sister, God's got a call for you. Sister, you. He says, you know what? We know what that produces? A bunch of different callings trying to figure out how does my calling fit with your calling and your calling and your calling and your calling. How do we all have different callings? And then we're trying to get in unity and we can't work it out. He says, you know what? I've changed my pitch, my sales pitch. And he says, this is what I do. I'll say to people, you know what? Listen, man, God has a plan. It's one plan and there's room for you in it. Right? Come on. Does God have an individual plan for your life? For sure. Okay, for sure. But that plan is not independent of the big plan. It's got to fit in, man. If your call is inhibiting your ability to be part of a local body, your call is off. It's not wrong. It's just off. It's got to work together, right? Think about this. Let me give you one, just a visual. It's a hypothetical visual. I'm not actually going to do it, okay? Everybody's like, oh, what's he doing? But look at church. I had a physical a year and a half ago, roughly, first one in a long time, and the doctor said, other than being a little bit muscular in the midsection, he said, you're perfectly healthy. This is muscle in reserve right here, Rod. Use it when I need it, all right? It's padding, all right? So, but think about this, man. So that means my heart is good, my lungs are working good, my kidneys, all this stuff, right? But think about this. So if my heart is working good, right, boom, 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 and I just cut my heart and take it out of my chest and put it on the table, how long does my heart live? It literally doesn't. I mean, maybe a minute, maybe not even that long, right? Is my heart healthy? Yes, perfect. But it's healthy as long as it operates in the proper position. You understand, right? Pastor, you're saying I should be part of a local church? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, right? That is exactly what I'm saying, all right? The Philippian letter is written to the church in the city of Philippi. Did they have a $6 million building that sat 3,500 with a $100,000 sound system and lights and smoke machines? Probably not. Probably not. Okay, but there was a local assembly in the city with pastors and elders and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, and there was government and there was submission and there was authority and there was, you know what, because if there's no church, if there's no physical gathering where they all know, hey, we're going to church here at this time, then how do you kick somebody out like Paul instructs them to do a couple times? Right? It's a body, church. Amen. So wherever you plug in, thankfully you're all here this morning. Praise God. Right? But we've got to plug in somewhere and serve in that body and grow and learn and let iron sharpen iron a little bit and grind it out. Right? You know what? If I was to take my heart out of my body, right, the damage that's done in a really, really short period of time is irreversible. It's irreversible. I can't just go, whoa, that was stupid. I got to plug it back in. Poop. It doesn't work, church. Right? Now, I'm not saying it's not a perfect analogy. Just it's a metaphor, man. Okay, hang on. right? I'm not saying that God can't fix something, but come on, do you understand? God has standards, and the standard is, he says, look it, I have chosen the church. Can I get amen? Look it, if somebody tells you, well, I'm just the bride of Christ, that is wrong. That's wrong. Okay, I'm sorry, last metaphor. Who knows where this is going? Lord, help me. Okay, I got married 18 years ago in change. And right, when I was standing on the altar in the little church I got married in, if you know, all the bridesmaids come in and then the music changes to dun, 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 you know, right? And everybody stands up and looks back. Can you imagine how weird it would have been if like an eyeball rolled in with a veil on it? Where's the rest of it? You got beautiful eyes, honey, but I'd like the rest of you is nice too. Come on, church. I'm just telling what the Bible says. The Bible actually says that if everybody's an eye, what do we smell away? What does Paul teach? He teaches that very thing. We're all part of the body. We're different, and we're supposed to be different, man. Okay, look at people. There's an independent spirit trying to get into the church. All right, I'm not saying you just want me to be at church. Yes, I do. But for God out loud, I'm not saying if you miss a Sunday, you're going to hell. Come on, I'm not saying that, church. Look, we've got to understand what is my commitment level to the church that I'm going to. Am I plugging in? Am I helping it grow? Am I playing my role in that church? Whatever that is, I don't know. Can I get amen? Right? Because you know what? As long as I'm plugging in and you're plugging in, guess what? What I'm supplying to the body is going to help you, and what you're supplying to the body is going to help me, and what you and I are supplying to the body is going to help this guy over here, and what he's supplying is going to help. Do you understand, church? I've got to be supplying something, right? Doesn't mean I can't take something once in a while, but if I keep taking and taking and taking, it's going to dry up. Praise God. I don't even that's been stewing for a while. I just figured to let it out now. Unity. So guys, the unity that Paul talks about here, that was all about unity, by the way, if you listen to that again. Hopefully nobody's offended, but if you are, it's too bad. Unity produces something, church, in verse 28. Do you see what? Look at this. Walking in a manner worthy means that you are standing in firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and then it produces something. It produces, in verse 28, church, a confidence. In no way alarmed by the gospel. I don't think that that's a third attribute. I think that that's a byproduct of the unity in the church. Right? If I'm standing firm in one spirit, in striving together with my brothers and sisters for the faith of the gospel, it's producing confidence, church, right? The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put, 10,000 to flight. It's exponential. So that means if we just, I'm not adding to the Bible, but that means if I got three folks standing together, we're shoulder to shoulder working it out, 100,000 got to go. Right? There's power in numbers, man. Come on. I can be confident. You can be confident in the Lord. But you know, when you get somebody around you that's working it out with you, that's praying with you, that's standing with you, say, man, I got your back. There's a confidence in that. Can I get amen, church? Right? There's a proverb that says something to the effect of, I'm going to paraphrase it terribly, but it says something to the effect of, that a brother is a brother is meant for times of calamity, but woe to him who falls with no one to help him up. Right? It's that Lone Ranger mindset. You understand, church? Amen? It's good preaching? You guys like it? Now back to chapter 2. Paul starts off chapter 2, verse 1, with this word, therefore. As most of you know, you've been around me long enough, therefores and so that's and for this reason, these kind of phrases are like my favorite stuff in the Bible, man, because it tells you, see, if I just read chapter 2 and read it, it starts with a therefore, right? So I got to back up a little bit, which we just did, but you see what I'm saying? So Paul's saying, therefore, in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, if there is any, right? Therefore, if there is any, let's back up and see what he says, any encouragement, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion right there. Therefore, Paul's saying, look, it because of what I just said. So we back up into chapter 1 one more time, verse 29 and 30. Paul is, look what he says. He says in verse 29, it's been granted to us to what? Right? To believe in him and to what? Oh, there's that word, suffer. Look, but I read this early this morning, and I was like, I just read that again. I was like, man, that's just messed up. To you it has been granted, okay? If I was to grant you something, that means I'm like giving you permission. I'm going to grant you to use my jet ski next weekend. Here's the keys, right? I'm going to grant you to use my house. I'm going to grant you to use my chainsaw. It's never going to happen. It's a hypothetical. All right, I'll come cut your trees down, but you're not using my chainsaw, bro. Okay, good. Mine's bigger. Right, church? Can I get amen on that? If I'm granting, I'm giving permission. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Greek word here, I looked it up because it was so fascinating to me. You know that the Greek word for granted here is actually from the root word used for grace. Okay, the Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And this word granted here is charismo, I, or some weird tail on the end of it, but it's the same. It says, if you look up in the Greek, it'll say, here's this charismio, something weird, and then it'll say, from this root word. That's what it says. So think about this, church. Granted, I looked up, read some commentaries on it just to make sure I wasn't totally losing my mind, and this is what these guys say. Look, that suffering is actually, in a sense, a gift of grace from God. Preach that in most churches in America. Man, they'll kick you right out. Right? God loves me, Pastor. He would never allow me to suffer. That's all I got to say about that. Come on, church. Now look it. The Bible also tells us, other where Paul teaches this way. He says, look it, some of you are suffering because you're just making stupid choices. It doesn't say stupid. I added that. Sometimes we suffer because we make poor choices. Okay? Sometimes, church, this is what it says, but if you suffer for doing what is right, blessed are you. Right? Church, there is time. This is the suffering Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about, you know, getting sick or whatever. Okay, that's not the granted from God. Can I get amen on that? The granted from God, that's sickness. We're supposed to bind it and rebuke it. Can I get amen on that? Right now, if you abuse your body and get sick, you probably should eat better. Okay, stop smoking or something. I don't know. But can I get amen on that, church? What he's saying is, if when I'm doing what's right, this is what Paul's saying right here, when I am reaching for God, I'm seeking God, I'm living for God, I'm being bold, as our brother shared about preaching over at UPS store the other day, right? I'm being bold for the Lord. I'm going to stand up. Maybe, church, in my lifetime, we're going to have to stand up against the government. Who knows what's going to happen in America? Right? It's that kind of stuff. You know what? The people that come up and say, you know, deny Christ or you're going to jail or worse. Deny Christ, deny your Christian faith, or we're going to take your money away from you. We're going to take your home away. We're going to take your job away. We're going to take your kids away. Oh, well, that would never happen in America. Wake up, because we're closer than you think. You know, in China right now, they're actually just passed some laws in China making it illegal to be a Christian. Full-blown illegal. Can no longer own Bibles. This was underground stuff, church, but the Chinese government is rising up, man. We need to pray for China. Can I get amen? The church is huge over there, man. I mean, it's growing like crazy. In Russia as well, right? In Russia as well, I guess. Just heard that. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying, though? Right? This is what Paul's saying. To grant it to us, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him, experiencing the same conflict that you saw. How many people want to sign up for that? So, Paul then follows this ominous statement at the end of chapter 1 with this question in verse 1 of chapter 2, if there is any encouragement. He's like, how many people want to suffer? Anybody feel encouraged now? Praise God. Right? If there's any encouragement, if any consolation, I'm reading this again, church. I'm hammering this when I get it into our hearts, right? The consolation, the Greek word means encouragement or comfort in love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any, right? Here's our word, affection and compassion. So Paul finishes up chapter 1 talking about believing in Jesus and suffer for him. And then Paul goes one step further and says, you know what, you guys might suffer the same stuff I've suffered. Well, let's think of what Paul suffered. Been arrested, thrown in jail, shipwrecked, bit by a snake, thrown in jail again. He preached the gospel in one city. They dragged him out and threw stones at him, and they thought he was dead. Why are those people so mean to me? Are they throwing stones yet, bro? Come on, man. We're so wimpy in America. You know what the Bible says? Paul, when he got up, they thought he was dead. He got up, and he says he went to another city for like a day or two and then came right back to that same city that they just stoned him. Bro, I don't think they like your message. Come on, church. Somebody looks at us funny. We're like, oh, sorry, I won't talk about Jesus anymore. Guilty. I'm picking on me too, church. Don't get offended. Amen. So I want to show you something really powerful about this verse 1 right here. Paul is not asking if these things exist in Christ. Do you see it? If there is any, he's not going, I wonder if there is some of this stuff. Amen. It's like a rhetorical question. What Paul is saying is he's saying to the church, have you allowed these things to be developed in you by Christ? Right? He's talking about not this huge universal question. He's saying in your heart, in your church, is there any encouragement? Is there any consolation? Is there any affection in you? Look, chapter 1, here's what's going to happen, man. It's going to be suffering. There's going to be some tough times. Therefore, because of that, church, is there any of this stuff going on in your heart towards one another? Amen, church? Philippians 2, verse 1 in the Message Bible. I'm not backsliding. I'm just reading a verse out of the Message, everybody. That's a joke. You can laugh at that. Listen, the Message Bible is it's a paraphrase. All right? Please, if you want to go to Bible school, don't read the Message Bible. All right? But if you're just reading something, you don't catch it, look in the Message, right? It's pretty good. Amen? It's pretty much like the guy just preached the entire Bible in one sitting and just wrote it all down. Right? Verse 1 in chapter 2 in the Message Bible says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. There's verse 1 in the Message Bible. See what Paul's saying, church? He's not asking, do these things exist in the Lord? He's saying, have you allowed these things to be planted in your heart? Has your relationship with Jesus Christ changed you? Right? Then he says, make my joy complete. Hey, right? So let's look at this commission in chapter 2. So we have the commission at the end of chapter 1, but now we have a similar commission in chapter 2, right? And these commissions are sandwiching this verse 1, right? Do you see it? So Paul pleads with us here to have oneness of mind in chapter 2, this being of the same mind, right? In chapter 2, verse 2, to think, and this is what he's saying, to think properly about things, to think properly about each other, to put down divisive thoughts, to put down selfish motives and goals, and to set our minds on Christ. Yeah. Come on, church. Look, if we sat in a room for long enough, just us folks right here, we all love each other incredibly so much. It's amazing. Praise God. I'm prophesying that. Right? But come on, church. If we sat down long enough, wouldn't take very long probably, we would start, somebody would say something that would rub somebody the wrong way. And I mean, it would rub them the wrong way pretty good. Especially somebody that's sitting really close to me right now. I said this morning, we were all getting ready to pray. I said this morning, I said, you know, man, it's like at least a third of my prayer time every week is just praying on how to deal with you, bro. And you know why I love this guy? Because he just takes it like it is. It's a joke, kind of. He gives it back, right? Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, man, right? I mean, can't dish it out if you can't take it, right? But you see what I'm saying, church? Look, if you put, you could put two people that just are mad in love with one another, just are the best friends, man. Put them alone long enough and something's going to come up that's going to grind on them. And, you know, that's it. I just can't stand you anymore, right? Come on, man. And this is what Paul's going after, this oneness of mind, the same being of the same mind, amen, maintaining the same love, he says. The Greek word here denotes that we need to work at loving one another in a Christ-honoring way. The word is maintain, right? We need, come on, church, just look at life, right? We understand maintaining stuff in life, right? If you got a car, you change the oil, right? Hopefully. If you don't change the oil, go to Valvoline after church and get your oil changed. All right, I'll pay for it. Amen. Right? We get our hair cut. We mow the grass. We paint our houses, hopefully. We clean. I don't clean. My wife cleans. Right, church? You understand what I'm saying? We maintain things in life. We understand that concept. If I don't maintain things, they will break down. They will not work properly. Is that right? So this is what Paul's saying. Maintain the same love, right? Maintain it. It takes work. You got to work at it. You got to capture those weird thoughts to come in. How come so-and-so looked at me like that? How come all these weird thoughts? How come you know, I texted that person. They didn't text me back in 3 minutes. What's wrong? They must be offended by me. Whatever. Come on, church. But look at, we get offended by everything now. We're out there, we look at the culture, we're like, why is everybody so offended? Because the church is so offended. Man, is that right? We should be unoffendable, especially when we're out in the world, right? I love that we're talking, watching that promo video, that one lady said, the reason we're doing this video is because it convicted the heck out of me, the one with Tony Evans, okay? I was like, oh man, busted. I need that one, Lord. Help me. But look, this lady says, you know, my dad taught me you don't say bad things about people. And she says, you know what? It was fine until I went to church. What? Oh, man. What are we doing? Right? Could you imagine? I'm going to challenge you guys probably after we watch this one. But the Lord's been on me. He says, you know, I want you to challenge the church. Don't do this yet. We'll do Tony Evans first, and then we'll do it, okay? Tony will help us by God's grace. But the Lord says, you know, I want to challenge you. Take 6 months and don't say one bad thing about anybody. Not one. No matter what. No matter what. And he says, you know what? Every time you want to say something bad about somebody, pray about it. Pray and give it to God. And this is what the Lord has said to me. Watch what I'll do. And the Lord, it was been weeks. He's been grinding me on this one. He says, imagine this, church. This is what he said to me. Imagine if you see something in this person's life and you are, man, you just want to say something. No. But you say nothing. You say nothing to nobody except God. And then a few weeks goes by, and that person comes up to church, and they say, hey, you know, hey, can I give a testimony? And they grab the microphone, and they say, you know what? The Lord's really been working on me about da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And you're sitting in your chair going, whoa, that's exactly what I saw. That's exactly what I've been praying about. And then the person says, you don't understand. I've had this in my life for 25 years, and just a few weeks ago, all of a sudden, I just felt God talking to me about it and just felt just grace. It's time to overcome this thing. And all of a sudden, you're going, what? Church, can I get amen on that? Right? Come on. Imagine what it will do, not just for that person, but for you. You're saying, man, I said nothing to anybody except God, and now this person's set free. Wow. That sounds like a pretty steep challenge, amen? Let's keep moving. He says, united in spirit. This is one word in the Greek, and it actually means oneness of soul. Oneness of soul. So the Greek word church is like S-U-M-P-S-I-C-H-O-S. So like some psycho. That sounds really bad, church. I don't know. I hope I'm mispronouncing that because it sounds terrible. Some psycho. Pastor talked about some psycho at church today. I don't know how else to say that. That's how it's spelled. S-U-M-P-S-I-C-H-O-S. Psycho with a some in front of it. Amen. But here's the thing, church. And I saw that word the other day when I was studying this. And I knew automatically it was a compound word because psyche in the Bible, Greek, is soul. Amen. Psyche means soul. So like a psychologist is one who studies the soul, right? Theology is study of God. Psychology is study of the soul. Amen. Mind, will, emotions. Can I get amen on that? So when Paul says here to be united in spirit, that's the phrase in the New American Standard, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, because if you notice, if you read my translation I preach out of, he says earlier in the verse previous, the Holy Spirit's a capital S. In this verse, it's a lowercase s. Amen. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about my spirit, who I am, my personality, my likes, my dislikes. Can I get amen, church? Do you see it? He's saying, look, you need to be united in spirit. Some other translations would say things like to be in not just one accord, but to be in full accord with one another. Right? It's talking about allowing the Holy Spirit in my heart to grind out stuff that I know is not okay to bring into a corporate setting. Can I get amen, church? One time years back, I was preaching, and I said something. I don't remember what I said, but I said something. I was driving home with my wife, obviously, and man, have you ever had that situation where you're in the car with your wife and you just know that you did something wrong? Come on, y'all lying. I'm the only one. That's not true. There's no way. Right? One guy says, I get up every morning and I roll over and I say, good morning, honey. I'm sorry. She says, for what? He says, I don't know yet, but I'm sure I'm going to need some grace. So anyway, I was driving home with my wife, and she was just quiet, and I just knew it. I'm like, all right, I did something. I said something I shouldn't have said at church. Shocking, right? So anyway, she says, and finally I said, babe, what's wrong with you? You know, what's going on? You're upset. And she says, she looks at me, and it was like the Holy Spirit right through her eyes looking at me, right, just burning in my forehead. She said, this is what she says. I remember it so clear. She says, you know what? It's perfectly okay if the word of God offends somebody. It's not okay, however, if your opinion does. I was like, oh, wow, I love you too, honey. Your eyes are beautiful. Church, but let's face it. I guarantee you, if we were really to take a step back and look at the stuff that grinds on us at church, I guarantee at least half of it's just your opinion about something. If I was a gambling man, I'd bet probably 3/4 of the time. It's more my opinion about something. It's more about, you know, is it really? See, if I want to correct somebody, I try to say, man, is there scripture here? Is there scripture I can stand on? Amen, church? And I tell you what, if there's scripture, number one, that's what I do. I try to find, is there scripture that addresses this particular issue that I feel like I got to talk to this person about? Number one, right? Number two, am I using the scripture properly? Am I just twisting it around to make my point? Anybody feel guilty about that one? Right? Come on. How many times have you twisted scripture around to make your point? Amen. Look, if I shouldn't correct somebody if I'm not willing to hold their hand and help them get through it. Right? Amen. The Greek word here, church, is, I'm just going to review this real quick. I'm almost done. Isn't referring to the Holy Spirit, but rather to my spirit, my personality, my preferences, my likes and dislikes, right? Paul is directing us to allow the Holy Spirit to work out the rough edges in our personalities. Each one of us has a responsibility to change. Everybody say change. For the betterment and encouragement of the rest of the body. Wow, that was so quiet. Come on, y'all. Look, it's not my responsibility to make that person change. It's my responsibility that I change, right? In church, that takes a hard look at myself. If I look at me in the mirror and then say, how am I impacting the church that I belong to, the church that I fellowship with? Am I helping this church? Is this church better because I'm there? Am I contributing to it positively, right? Now, again, whatever that looks like, and please, if you take that look and you feel bad, don't just hide somewhere, man. Address it. Go talk to somebody. Just say, hey, I feel like I'm convicted about this or I'm convicted about that. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Right? But it's like, am I making this better? And we're talking about relationships, right? Am I in a relationship? Is this relationship better because I'm in it? Is this all right? Look. This is how I ask myself, right? Do folks want to be around me because they feel better when I'm gone? Yeah? Do folks, are they around me because they feel like they gotta be? Right? Man, are y'all getting so quiet? You're like, where's he going with this one? I don't know what he's talking about. Let's just all laugh, smile. It's all good, everybody. I love you. I really do. But come on. Let's family. Oh, family. Right? Uncle Felix. Nobody has Uncle Felix, right? You can't get offended by that. Nobody's name is Felix anymore, right? Uncle Felix. We're like, well, he's family, so shouldn't we invite Uncle Felix? Man, not if he's crazy. For crying out loud, I mean, we need to be nice to him and witness the gospel and everything, but if I just want to have a barbecue, I'm not going to invite Uncle Felix, man, because he's just destructive. He makes a mess everywhere he goes. You understand what I'm saying? Uncle Felix is not a person who understands how to have a healthy relationship with people. Right? Do you like having folks around that don't know how to have healthy relationships? No, nobody does. Is that good, church? Am I giving you permission to not invite Uncle Felix to your barbecue? Yes. Pray about it. Okay, man. Just pray. No, come on, man. But you see what I'm saying? Like, we need to be kind, church. Can I get amen? I need to say, man, am I bringing something good to the table? Me. If I'm bringing something good to the table, then that's all I'm responsible for, right? Same thing in church. Am I bringing something good to the church? Am I coming here and I'm encouraging somebody? Somebody feels better because I'm here. Amen? So back up to verse 1. We're going to wrap it all up. Done in just about 6 minutes, give or take 10 minutes. Paul's rhetorical question to us, church, is this: if there is any, right? Well, in that list of things, Paul asks about affection, right? That's at the bottom of the list. We're talking about affection today, right? Been all over the map a little bit, but hopefully we're going to drive it home right here. The last thing he says, if there's any affection and compassion, right? The Greek word for affection is the same Greek word we looked at last week, and it denotes, it literally is talking about the inward parts. That's the Greek word. If you break it all down, inward parts. So this word that Paul uses is talking about some kind of an emotional interaction as well. But you see what I'm saying? He's talking about, am I changed in my heart? Is there something where I care about somebody or I care about a situation that I might not have normally cared about just by myself, right? Even if I'm a nice guy and I think I'm a pretty compassionate person, at some point there's going to be this limit. I'm like, you know what? I just got too much on my plate. But Paul's saying, look, if there's really some affection that's come into your heart because of your relationship with Jesus, because you're saved, because you've got the Holy Ghost working in you, that's the stuff that we're going to need to get through this suffering and this affliction that's coming, to get through these times that are hard. We're going to have to go out of our own ways and serve other people even when it's inconvenient. Amen? I'm going to read just this whole section in the Message Bible. I read verse 1 already, but really the whole thing, and this is it. I'm done right here. But I want you guys to listen to this. Amen? It's so good. So again, he says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Now we shift, church. This is one of my favorite few verses in the whole Bible right here. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Verse 9, because of that obedience, everybody say because. Because of that obedience, now I want to stop here and it's going to be more than 6 minutes, but not a lot more. Maybe pick this up next week or sometime in the future. But look at what I love about this section, church, is it's saying that Jesus was the Word, right? That's in the beginning was the Word. He's Jesus when he becomes human, right? So it's the Word. He's equal with God. But it says he does not consider equality with God something to grasp onto, but rather he empties himself, New American Standard would say, right? He empties himself, takes on the form of a slave, right? And becomes human, right? So, becomes obedient to the point of death. And then in New American Standard it says, for this reason also, God bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess, right? And so church, listen, because that, and that phrase, for this reason also, that phrase is in the Greek, exactly in there, okay? So what Paul is saying right there is that Jesus, because of Jesus' obedience, God rewarded him. Do you see it? For this reason also, because Jesus was obedient to the point of death, for this reason also, God gave him the name. So that means prior to Jesus' death, that the name of Jesus was not the name that's above every other name. Because if it already was, then it couldn't become that. You can't become something that you already are. Can I get amen on that? Do you see it? Am I making sense to everybody? So look it. Here's the concept, church. You got to catch this, okay? Jesus left his past behind, if you can just follow this for a second, okay? Jesus left his past behind, if he has a past, and took on the role that God had him take on so that he could gain the actual destiny of who he was supposed to be, which is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and all these things. Can I get amen on that? Was there anything wrong with Jesus' identity prior to him letting go of his identity? No, but that's what the Bible says, right? He did not grab, he did not hold on to his identity as an equal with God, but he let go of it and took on a different identity. Yeah? So here's the concept, church. This is what God said to me years ago. I was reading this and he says, son, look, when you let go of your previous identity, take on the identity that I've called you to give, that I've given to you, and you become obedient to the point of dying to that old nature all the way. When you've become that dead person, he says, I will bestow the same authority on you that I bestowed on my only son. It's not at the name of Mark every knee will bow, but you know what? I'll walk in such a place of authority and oneness with God that when I walk into a place, everybody's going to know, like, whoa, we know who that guy is. Get out the way. Right? What the demons say when they beat up those seven sons of Sceva? Paul we know, Zeta we know, but we don't know you, man. We know Jesus, we know Paul, but we don't know you. So that means that Paul had some type of authority where demons knew who he was, man. They're like, whoa, that's Paul. Stay away from that guy. Right, church? I mean, man, I've preached for years, Pastor Al's preached for years in this church, that we believe that we can walk in such oneness with God and such oneness this way, church, that you know what? Demons will know that church in Farmington, don't mess with those people. Don't go there, because you go there, you're going to get your tail handed to you. Yeah. So you know what? Why has the devil got such a target on trying to disrupt the unity in the church? Because that's the only thing we're missing, y'all. Is this connection, man, where I am invested in your life, right? One man says, look, we're pretty good this way. Everybody comes to our church, they're like, wow, I've never felt the presence of God anywhere in this whole state like I feel in this church, right? This is okay. We're pretty good at this part, right? No matter who's here. Doesn't matter who's on the worship team, drummer, no drummer, singers, no, it don't matter. There's something about the heart of this church. We've got this figured out okay, right? It don't matter who's here, who's not. We just keep going, and this is okay, right? But it's like we're struggling is this stuff, man, right? We're struggling to figure this out, and there's so much coming at us, culture and work and all kinds of stuff, right? But look, we've got to start working through some of this stuff and say, man, I've got to slot some time out to build these relationships this way. Right, church? I'm going to have to make it a priority and move some other stuff around. Amen. Let me finish reading this little section. Almost done. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, all will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. Amen. Let's stand up. And we'll pray just for a moment. Is this okay, guys? Does this make sense? I said some stuff a little strong in there, but just hang on. I love you. Honestly, guys, I love everybody. I'm not mad at all. God's working some things out in our house. Amen. So, Father, we're asking right now that you let that affection, your affection, God, that you'd move out of the way, whatever's got to get moved in our hearts, God. Move whatever's blocking it. Last week we looked at this. Paul says that you're caught up in your own affections, he says to the Corinthian church. Your own affections are what's hindering you. Your own commitments, your own dedication, your own those things in your life that you prioritize. So, Lord, we all have things that we prioritize that probably we could move a little bit and give some room for what you're trying to do here. So, Father God, we just ask that affection, God, that commitment, those warm feelings towards one another, that deep dedication, God, you would stir that in each of our hearts, Father, that we would pray, number one. We'd pray. Every time something happens, we feel something weird, we think, boy, why did they say that? Why did they do this? Lord, help us just pray right there. Say, you know, Lord, I will not entertain weird thoughts about that person. I'm going to pray. I know they love me. I know that they're there for me. I know that this is a safe place. No matter, even if thoughts tell me it's not, it's safe here. And that, Father, you will help us to just say, you know, we're going to bind the devil. We're going to bind those weird thoughts and say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to bless so-and-so. I'm going to bless them. Father, Lord, help them to do the right thing. Help them to speak well. Help them to just bless their home, bless their family, bless their finances, whatever we need to do, God, that we're going to pray, number one. And then, Father, we would slot out some time to start building relationships here, God. If it's a cup of coffee, if it's a phone call, if it's a lunch, if it's a dinner, if it's inviting people over to our home or whatever it is, Lord, just a little bit of time, a little bit of time, God, that we would start building some real, as the scriptures say, they're deep-spirited relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. So three Tuesdays from now, 2 weeks from this Tuesday, is that Bible study kick. It's only 4 weeks. We'll have a sign-up sheet next Sunday. Please come on out, everybody. It'll be a good one. I've watched all of them. They're good. It's not too bad. Amen. We're probably looking, we'll nail it down, but it probably will be like 7:15 to like 8:30. And whatever it'll be right around that time, 7-ish. And it'll be about an hour or so. And we will start on time and end on time, no matter who shows up or doesn't. Amen.